We've been talking about reading the Bible through this year as a church family, where as many people as possible will read the entire Bible. And so if you kind of missed out on that announcement, there's Bible reading plans out in the foyer area on the counter, and you could always just start where we're at. We just started the book of Exodus, and we would love to have you join us in that. What's the big deal about reading the Bible? What's the big deal about reading the Bible? It was encouraging this week. I got a couple of just little text messages or emails about from individuals that are reading through the Bible. And here's what one individual said, and I have their permission to share this, is I have a confession. I was born in a Christian home, raised Catholic, and had some pretty good Christian role models in my life. However, here I am going to be 39 this year and just finished reading a book of the Bible all the way through. I've gotten bits and pieces over the years, but have never actually sat down and read a book. It's pretty good stuff. I found my prayers the last few weeks to be more intentional than ever before. I'm anxious for Exodus now and the other things that God has planned for me this year. God is good all the time. Saturday, I sent out an email just reminding people hey, this takes an everyday thing, and maybe you missed a day, and that's okay. Just catch up or start where you're at right now. And I got two more emails. One said is that every morning they get up in the morning and they read it out loud together. And I've heard a couple of people say, you know, that's kind of hard. Some of those names are really hard to figure out. You know what? If you read them like you know them, you'll look like a genius. And everyone will think that that's the way that you pronounce it. And so just be confident. Another individual said, hey, I've joined in from Washington, and I'm reading along with your church family. We actually have a number of people who picked it up, whether it was on Facebook or maybe watching the live stream, because we always have, maybe up to 10 people joining in on each live stream on Sunday mornings. And so other people have been joining us also. But what's the big deal about reading the Bible? What's the big deal about reading the Bible? Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about this reading scripture. The first week, we talked about why read the Bible. And then last week, we talked about what are the benefits to reading scripture. And now today, we're going to talk about the how. How do we receive scripture? How do we do this? And it's going to be extremely practical this morning. And so some of this is more by way of recommendation. You don't have to do it exactly this way. There's part of this that's suggestive. You can't find it in the Bible as the practical steps, but it's good stuff. So Wayne Cordero, in his book, The Divine Conspiracy, says, if we neglect or eliminate God's basic means of speaking to us, we can easily be led off track, and so it's crucial that we make a daily appointment with the Lord. He says, the Bible is more current than today's news. It's more instructive than the stock report, and it's more helpful than any talk show. God's word is literally the doorway to his heart. And then Cordero says, remember, the Bible is the only book in the universe that God has inspired. Cordero is really practical in his suggestions for how to read the Bible. He suggests the following tools: a Bible, a Bible reading plan, a pen or a highlighter, a journal, and a calendar. So we're going to walk through each one of those. Cordero says, I know that it's shocking, but bring your Bible. Why? The Bible is the only book that God has inspired. You know, I've been greatly encouraged over the years by other devotional writing individuals who are following Christ, and they write a great book, and it's encouraging, and it's devotional in nature. I've been greatly encouraged by that, but there's something about the Bible, having the Bible, that is so important. The Bible's the only book that God has inspired. Other books are inspirational at times, but they're not inspired in the way that the Bible is inspired. In 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God breathed. That's what inspired means when talking about scripture, is that it's the very breath of God, that it's the very word of God. And we talked about that a little bit last week. And so it is God breathed. So bring your Bible. Bring a Bible reading plan. We have one that we're suggesting for everyone. The reason it's good to have a Bible reading plan is because then we have a clear path to follow. It's like a map that helps us find our way all the way along the journey. The Bible reading plan eliminates the question, where do I begin today? It just takes that question off of the table because we have the readings for the day. And we have the map laid out for us. And so we can follow along. A pen or highlighter. Now, why would you bring a pen? The answer is so that you can mark up your Bible. Now, I know that for some of you, that is very hard to do. That to mark up your Bible or to write in the margins that's almost sacrilegious. But I want to remind you, okay, so this is a beautiful book right here. This has been wonderfully put together. Nice leather. Has a great binding. There's glue that kind of keeps it all together. But here's the deal. The binding and the paper that the ink is printed on is not what's inspired. It's the words that are inspired. What God declares as holy is the words that are in the Bible that he has declared to be true. His word is holy. And when we read it spiritually, the Holy Spirit brings it to life in us. And so it's okay to underline or to highlight passages that jump out and challenge you and convict you. Now, I also know that there's a number of us that are reading scripture on our smart devices. And so we're doing this digitally, and so you can highlight in the apps. It's not quite the same. There's still value to having a physical Bible close by and to being able to make marks in a physical Bible. I should have brought it with me, but I have one of the very first Bibles that I had after I put my faith in Christ. If you go through the book of Proverbs, you would look, well, what was he thinking? And I look at it too because I highlighted everything. It must have been impactful. I have no idea which part of which chapter was most impactful because it's all highlighted. But I was so excited at that particular time. And later is I'm able to go back and I'm able to see I've kept most of the Bibles through the years. I'm able to see some of the little marks that I made. I'll put parentheses around things. I'll circle things. I'll put a rectangle around things. And so it can be a wonderful way of reminding ourselves those particular things that jump out on us on a particular day. I have a friend, he dates the pages of his Bible as he goes through them so that you can see where you were at over time. He just puts a date on it. And so if he read three chapters that day, as he starts the beginning there, and he'll write down as chapter 13, 14, 15, and then the date on there. Just a good way of being able to keep track of where you're at and the continuity and the history of your reading. People often mark commands in one color and promises in another color. Commands are what we are to do. Promises are what God will do. Just some little things. But it's a great way to kind of keep some continuity. Inside of many of the apps, though, you can also add notes. And so you can do this within the apps also. You can highlight, and then you can add notes within there. So it is possible to do it within the digital devices. A journal. A journal is simply a notebook where you can write down what God says to you. And so sticky notes, notepad. If it's harder for you, these devices, they have a note taker on there, and you can literally use the voice assistant to read. You can out loud speak to the voice assistant, and it will journal the words for you and put all kinds of funny words in there when it doesn't understand them. So journaling. It's good to write down what the Lord says. In Jeremiah 30, verse 2, it says, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Write in a book all of the words that I've spoken to you." In Jeremiah 36:2, it says, "Take a scroll and write on it all of the words that I have spoken to you concerning Israel, Judah, and all of the nations from the time I began speaking to you in the reign of Josiah until now." This is an ancient practice, of course. Some of the reason why we have the scripture that we have is because people were faithful to write it down. Habakkuk 2:2, the Lord replied, "Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that the herald may run with it." Taking notes on what God is saying can be a really effective way of tracking with what God is doing in your own life. So it's just it's a great thing to do. We honor God with our note taking. In Revelation 2:29, it says, "Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." There's something about hearing it and then being able to record it and commit it to memory for that particular week when you're doing the reading. Journaling is writing out what we hear. It's like saying, "God, I am listening, and I really want to make sure that I hear it." Wayne Cudero also suggests a calendar. This one might be surprising to you, but here's what I know. Cudero says that it's almost inevitable that when we're reading, unfinished tasks will come to mind to distract us. How many of you have had that happen before? I have that happen all the time. So there's something about being able to capture those thoughts. Here's what happens is my mind gets cluttered with all of the things that I have to do on a daily basis. I mean, I wake up and my mind is going. It's rare that I can sleep past 5:30 in the morning because it's just like my mind clicks on. And there's something about taking all of this stuff that's floating around in my mind and putting it down on a piece of paper, because then my mind has more room for everything else. And so there's something about having a calendar close by or a notepad close by to capture those thoughts that would distract you from reading God's word and being able to really focus in on it. And so it's helpful to have a calendar. The best thing that we can do is to be able to clear our mind so that we can put into our mind what's most important. So it's good to do that. There's a little acronym that might help you out. Soap is a good thing. It keeps us clean. And so the SOAP acronym is, we can soap up every day. In 1 John 15:3-4, it says, "You are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you." And then Jesus says to his disciples, he says, "You're clean because of this word. And so remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." And so there's something about letting the word of God speak its cleanness into us. And so this picture of soap, it's a picture of cleansing. And the acronym, here's what it stands for, is the first letter, S, stands for Scripture. The first letter S stands for Scripture. And so when we're reading through a reading, and let's say that we go through two or three chapters, there's often one or two sentences that will grab our heart in a special way. And so when I was reading through Exodus this week, and I was reading about Pharaoh, and I was reading about how Pharaoh hardened his own heart, and then later how God said, "Let it be so," and then he hardened Pharaoh's heart, is there was that particular scripture that talked about the hardening of Pharaoh's heart, where it says that he hardened his heart against the Lord. And that just grabbed onto me. And so that was my key scripture for the day. The O stands for observation. Ponder God's word and then write in a sentence or two what's happening, who's affected, and what's taking place. And so the observation is that Pharaoh hardened his heart against the Lord. Pharaoh hardened his heart against the Lord. And later, after he had hardened his heart a number of times, God hardened his heart from that point on. And so the observation, if we harden our heart for too long, then the Lord will say, "Let it be so." And he will harden it from that point on. Resist the Lord for too long, and he allows us to just be hard. He says, "Okay, I'll let you be that way. Observation. And then application. How will you be different? The A of SOAP is application. How will you be different today as a result of what you read? Application seals God's word in our heart. Application moves everything from the ear to the heart. You know, that 12, 15 inches, that's a big gap in a lot of ways. But to move it from our ears to our heart is to say, okay, so how is this going to change me? And so when I was reading this last week, the application is Brian, be very careful. Be very careful to be dismissive of the Lord's word. It is the same as having a hard heart. Application moves everything from the ear to the heart. James 1, 22 through 24 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Now, most of us make a general habit of looking in the mirror in the morning. If there's a blemish on the skin, we kind of like to hide it. But looking in the mirror and walking away, we wouldn't do that. And yet the danger is that we would do that with the word of God. In John 13, verse 17, Jesus said to his disciples, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And so the S is scripture, the O is observation, the A is application, the P is prayer. Finish your time in the word with a thoughtful prayer. Right now we have a little bit of help because throughout this coming year, we're asking everyone to on the date of that day to read the psalm that goes with that particular day. And so this morning it would be Psalm 20. And then using that psalm to guide our prayers that we can pray that psalm back to the Lord. Just a summary of that psalm. And so prayer, finishing our time in the word of God and in thoughtful prayer. And then we can also add on to there is the other concerns that we have. We can ask the Lord. It's called intercession, where we go to the Lord on behalf of our friends and our family and other people around us and on behalf of ourselves. We take those things to the Lord. And so those are the really, really practical things that we can do. The warning here is, you can do all of that and still not be changed. You can do all of that and still not be changed. Because we have to read God's word in a particular way in order for it to get to our hearts. John Piper, in his book, Reading the Bible Supernaturally, he writes, Bible reading that only collects facts and relieves a guilty conscience or gathers doctrinal arguments or exciting aesthetic literary tastes or feeds historical curiosities. This kind of Bible reading is what Satan is perfectly happy to leave alone. He has already won the battle. And so if we're reading the Bible just to get more information, if we're reading the Bible just to be able to engage in some kind of conversation, then that's the kind of Bible reading that Satan loves. Piper goes on to say, but reading that hopes to see the supreme worth and the beauty of God, reading that aims to be satisfied with all who God is and all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ, reading that seeks to taste and see that the Lord is good, is reading that Satan will oppose with all of his might. There is a condition of mankind that acts as a hindrance to Bible reading. It's this condition, and all of us have it. And it's a challenge that we have to be able to overcome in order to read the way that God wants us to read. Our natural tendency is to read for selfish reasons, which the Bible calls darkness. So it's important to read God's word for more reasons than just to grasp something. And so reading God's word should be a supernatural act of accepting the things that are of the Spirit of God. And so reading has to be more than a natural act. Otherwise, it's just like reading the news. It has to be a supernatural act. It has to be an interaction between God and us. And so when we read God's word, it's important for us to understand that there is a spiritual action that is taking place. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13 says, "We have not received. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given to us." And so what we have received, it's not of this world. It's not a natural thing. It's a supernatural thing. And this is why Paul writes and he says, "This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words." There are two things that are really important in these verses that I just read. The first one is not in words taught with human wisdom. Not in words taught with human wisdom is that these words are unlike any other words that we can find, because they have been inspired by God and they are God-breathed, and so they are different. And so not in words taught by human wisdom, rather in words taught by the Spirit. The Apostle Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolish and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit." And so Bible reading, reading the Bible has to be a spiritual act whereby we accept the things that are from the Spirit of God. This is one of the reasons why I often say is that when we read this book, there's something interesting that's happening, because when we read it, it's just not the words off the page coming into our minds, but rather when we're reading the Word of God, it is also reading us. It is speaking to us. It challenges us. Now, if we just read it in a natural way, then it's just words just like any other words in any other book that we can read. And we can read it that way. Is when I was at MSU, I took a class called The Bible as Lit. And it was treated like just any other piece of literature. You can read it that way. But when we read it as a spiritual act, where we accept that these words are the words of the Spirit of God for us, we are in essence relying on God and on the Spirit and Christ to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. As we seek to see what is really there in Scripture, and as we seek to savor it and be transformed by it. And so it's important that we pray that God would open our minds. Pray that God would open our minds. It's what needs to happen when we spend time in the Word of God. In Luke chapter 24, there's this interesting story because it tells us that there was an interaction that happened. This is after the resurrection. It's after the crucifixion. It says in Luke 24, verse 13, it says, "On that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem." Now remember, it's after the crucifixion of Jesus, and the women had just gone to the tomb, and they found out that the tomb was empty, and they come back and tell the men, and of course men, the way that they handle this is it says that they did not believe the women. And then it says that there were two of them, and they were walking to Emmaus, and they're a little bit confused by it all, and they're kind of excited, but they're also still scared, and they're trying to figure it all out. And they're walking on the road to Emmaus. And as they're walking, we're told as readers that someone comes up alongside of them. And we know that the individual who comes alongside of them, we know that it's Jesus. It says, as they talked and discussed what had been happening with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked alongside of them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Kind of interesting. I love it that Jesus likes to play jokes on people. I just don't like to be the one. So, and Jesus, now remember, they don't know this Jesus, but Jesus asks, what are you talking about? And shocked, they respond, you must be the only one in all of Jerusalem who doesn't know. Because this is the week of the crucifixion. 3 days have gone by since the crucifixion. It has been a crazy week. All of Jerusalem has been turned upside down by the events of what have been going on. And then it says that with downcast faces, they tell Jesus about Jesus' arrest and Jesus' crucifixion and ultimately about the empty tomb. Saying, this is what the women said. We don't know. And can you imagine Jesus hearing all of this? You don't say. That's interesting. Well, I can't believe it. Or I guess I can. I can only imagine. Man, I'd like to put myself in his shoes. And in Luke 24, verses 25 through 27, these are the words of Jesus. He said to them, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all of, and slow of heart. I must be getting old. I can't see it. Okay. He said to them, how foolish you are. That's why we have the cheater screen. And how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into glory? And beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all of the scriptures concerning himself. The literal translation, when he says how foolish you are and how slow to believe, the literal translation is that you're slow of heart and therefore you do not believe. The reason that it's hard for us to believe is a heart issue. It's not an issue of ignorance. It's a heart issue. The passage goes on to say, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. And so he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened scriptures to us? This passage helps us to understand. It helps us to understand by the grace of Christ when we read scripture that something significant, spiritual, supernatural happens. And the first one is this, is in the same way that the two individuals going to Emmaus are able to finally see because two things happened. The first one is that he opened scriptures. He opened the scriptures. And then the second one is he opened up their hearts to receive it. Those two things have to happen every time we open the Word of God. Is we have to come to them knowing that they are the God-breathed scriptures that are profitable for all that we need. Whether we need reproof or correction or encouragement or whatever it may be so that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so opening scripture that this is the holy word of God. And over the years, faithful people have been translating it for us, and many of them have given their lives for it. Many of them have been martyred for it. And over again, individuals and really the enemy has tried to destroy the Word of God. by either twisting its translation or just trying to get rid of it altogether. And yet, we still have it. After 2,000 plus years of resistance, we have the Word of God. And it's for us. And even in the translation process, it is given to us, and they have worked so hard so that we can have it and that it's accurate and that we can know that it teaches us about how to live, but even more so, it teaches about the salvation that comes through Christ alone. The second part of that is having our hearts opened up to receive it. That's the encouragement that I want to give us, that as we open up the Word of God, as we're reading through Scripture this year, is that there's just the practical side of it. You know, bringing a pen, that's just a helpful practical thing. Is that part isn't something that the Bible doesn't say, bring your pen and bring your calendar and bring your journal and bring your reading plan and bring the Bible. Yeah, the Bible. The Bible doesn't say that specifically. The practical side of it is here are some tools that you can use to help you to get into Scripture. But the other side of it is this is a supernatural interaction with God, the God of the universe, the God who loves you. And through His Son and through His Holy Spirit is working in your life. And this supernatural act happens that when you open Scripture, and actually is that there's a sense in which the Spirit of God is opening up the Scriptures for you. The Bible says that there's a veil over our minds apart from Christ, and that in Christ that veil is lifted off so that we can understand Scripture. And then when we pray as Lord, open my heart to receive what you have for me, He opens it up so that we can receive it. That's what should motivate us as we're reading through Scripture this year. And the thing is that it really does start with Jesus. It really does start with Jesus, because all of the Old Testament points to the Messiah who will one day come and that He will take care of our sins, because that's the one thing that we cannot take care of on our own. And so the Old Testament points to a Messiah that will one day come, and the New Testament introduces us to Him, and we find His name, and His name is Jesus. And then when Jesus, when He suffered on the cross and He died, when He said, "It is finished," and He paid for sin, and then 3 days later, when He rose again, before all of that, He said, "I will not leave you alone, but I will send my Holy Spirit to you. And He will be your counselor, and He will guide you in all truth." As we have this promise, we have this promise from God through His Scriptures that we have our needs provided for, and there's two things that we cannot take care of on our own. We cannot take care of our sin, and we cannot take care of death. Only He can. And so when we put our faith in Jesus, we have this picture that as Jesus rose from the dead, and we're told that He's the first fruits of all who will rise from the dead. As Jesus rose from the dead, so will those who are His one day be caught up with Him. What a beautiful picture that is. And so if you haven't put your faith in Christ, to be able to say, I need a Savior who will help me with those two big problems that I cannot take care of on my own. I cannot take care of my own sin. And I cannot do anything about death, is that there will be a day when I die. And yet when we put our trust in Jesus, I love it in 1 Corinthians 15, because it says death has no victory, sin has no sting. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. The only reason we can say that is because of Jesus. And so we say it with the Apostle Paul from the moment that we put our faith in Christ. Thanks be to God who has the victory. Death has no victory. Sin has no sting because of Jesus. And so if you haven't put your faith in Jesus, then it's as simple as saying, "Jesus, I need you. Forgive me for my sin and be my Savior." And that prayer is answered. And if you have put your faith in Jesus, then it's that reminder that we need him. We need him every day. And that it's because of him that we don't have to fear. And that every day when we come to Holy Scripture, that it's as though he is opening it up and saying, take and eat. Take and be filled. Take and be fed. And then he, through his Spirit, opens up our heart to receive it. Would you stand with me and we'll pray. Maybe this is the first time that you've heard it in this way. And you're saying, yes, I need Jesus. And you can just articulate it to him in a prayer. Yes, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me for my sins. And come into my life. Or maybe you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, but you've been reminded that there's no fear in him. That perfect love casts out all fear. And you've been reminded that he speaks to you every single day, every single day. He speaks scripture to you. And he opens up your heart. And that you can receive it in a supernatural way. Just by saying, this is Jesus, I know that you're the living word of God. And that we have the written word of God. And I'm here and I'm ready to hear. And so take away the natural part of me that would mix this up. And help me to see as you see and do as you do. Father, I want to thank you for your word and for our time together this morning. Go with us as we go to fellowship and go into our community and help us to be the light of Christ in our world. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.